Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum. It's you with all of the chairs.
Thank all the listeners, everybody on the chat, and those around the world. I want to say hello and thank you for tuning in and supporting American Indian Movement's radio show, the real Native Indigenous radio show, and I'm going to prove it. Hey, Tanashi, member.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Hey, while you're here, let's tell all our relatives, and I miss my people in Porcupine. I want to send greetings out to Chug, you know, Chug and the bros out there in Porcupine. It's good to think of them, and I visit with Chug today, and good to visit some brothers, you know. So anyway, you know. Well, check you out. You know, it's really good to that we have our language right now, to have somebody special like you, Tanashi, that that tunes in, you know, and speaks our language. I was thinking about this woman named Mary Wilcox. She just passed away. She was the last one to speak her language, and she tried to teach it. The Escala Wukchumni language of Central California. She was the last one, and I don't know how it went, but you know, she just passed away, 87 years old, and you know, when we lose people like that. That speak the language and they go, that's really damaging to our culture. And I'm sure that her passing away was damage to their culture. So wanted to send, you know, blessings to her family and out that way. You know, language is really important. And I encourage people that speak their own language to come on and, you know, talk their language to their people, you know, like, instead, don't be naweezy and jealous, you know, like one, some big AIM members jealous because, we have Lakota speakers on this radio show. They don't see the value in it, you know? Because they're so naweezy and stupid that pity overpowers their common sense, you know. I really get, you know, when I think about it, because what Indigenous Radio Show International at this moment is happening today, except this one. There ain't no radio show international like this. I mean, this ain't on the res like Keeley or other ones, you know. This is one that's being heard all over. We have one of my bros in the East Coast right now tuning in, you know. And want to say greetings to John Davis. And we have lots of people tuned in, especially like in Germany, Mestinchula, and different people, even Red Hair Shirt in Berlin usually tunes in. In Russia, they tune in. South America, you know.
In California?
in Vacaville.
Yeah.
And you and my brother there, you know, that really
Sacramento,
makes me.
Vacaville.
Yeah, that's really cool. I was going to run through a couple of things, and then we can go for it, you know. I know. I don't know what you guys were doing this week when Facebook went off. I mean, I thought my computer was just screwed up again, so I turned it off. You know? I ain't lying. I was getting ready to throw down on something. By the time it came back on, I forgot. You know, forgot my important message I was going to give. You know. Yeah, I was really typing and it disappeared, you know.
Now people.
And then I came back.
Something.
Yeah, I came back and it was still. So I started calling. I was going to call you up. I started calling around and saying, you know, hey, what's going on? Facebook, is your computer tore up too or what? You know, I thought it was just my computer. And there somebody.
Yeah.
And there my niece said, oh. She said, Trump shut it down. Trump shut down Facebook. I said, really? So I went off on that route, you know, believing Trump shut it down,
yeah.
You know. I said, see, these Washichu, they just take their toys back. But, you know, what the thing that it showed me is this, that everybody puts all their eggs in one basket in Facebook.
Yeah.
So
yep.
When Facebook went off, nobody could communicate. They had no other option to communicate. Like me, I'm kicked off of Twitter for the last 4 years. They won't let me back on, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I don't even care, you know? But I could go back on Twitter. I think I'll change my name to Perry Noya, you know? And get back on there, you know? But that goes to show you, and the thing about it was I was thinking about, what about these people that use Facebook to cry around and do these live feeds crying and picking on people and lying, saying they're Hopi and Lakota and all of that, when, you know, they use Facebook for all their devious baloney, you know? And so I was thinking, man, those guys are probably hurting right now, you know? Once I figured it out that it wasn't just my computer, then I was all right. But at first I thought, damn, my computer's all tore up again, you know? And right when I was getting ready to throw down, and I forgot what I was going to throw down about. You know? But, I must have been planning on throwing down pretty good, because I was deep into the typing mode, you know. Even had spell check on and everything, you know, so the Washichu could hear me saying the right things, you know. But anyway, that was something. And now, you know, the other thing I was going to say, well, there's a few of them here, but, you know, I was thinking about Washichu white people, how they made us think everybody was white, you know, like we grew up.
Yeah.
We grew up down there in Rosebud. The only white people was up there at the hospital, you know, and then the other white people worked at the BIA. And then to me, in them days, white people meant pain.
The
Catholics were there, and they were nothing but pain, you know. A white person, I remember a white nurse caught me on the road and whipped my ass. My brother was there. He was watching over the bushes. He didn't want her kicking his butt. So, Larry was over the bushes watching me get an ass whooped by a big Washichu. You know, I'm telling you, I still remember her red hair. She had those horn-rimmed glasses, and she was dressed like a nurse, and she had football player legs, big calves, you know.
Holy crap.
She was slinging me all over the place, too.
She said she was a beauty. Larry said she was a beauty.
Man, she was
like a piñata.
When she let me on the ground, my wheels were spinning like a race car. I hit the ground, bounced up about three times, and boom, I was gone. You know?
Yeah. You know, when you think about it, back then, these Washichus, they were real abusive to us, you know? It didn't matter if they were so-called priest or, you know, common everyday rancher, whatever. You know, they were brutal to us, all Washichus, you know? They looked down upon us, you know, like we were less than human. And it's still that way today, you know? That's what really gets me is that, look at, they just had Indigenous Peoples Day, whatever that means, you know? And what the hell is all
that
about, you know?
You know what that is, Tahashi? That's like giving a kid a cookie to shut them up, you know? They gave us Indigenous Day to shut us up, you know. That's what that is.
And there's guilt on their part too.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
That's
you know.
You know, it's crazy how they, after all that abuse, after all those killings of babies, then they do something like that. That ain't gonna save them from what they did, you know.
No.
It's still like that today.
But I was tripping on like when we were small, how they made everything white. Jesus Christ was white. Tarzan was white. He's king of the jungle. Santa Claus is white. And look at even Superman. Superman came from another galaxy, another planet, someplace far away. So they had us thinking there's white people even out over there, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's white except this poor ass Indians.
Yep. You know, that's,
you know?
You know, if you look at our people, Tanshi, me and Larry was just talking about that. You know, the way they treated us, you know, it was no different than these people when they went into the military. You know, it was no different from these boarding schools going into the military. They were used to that.
Institutionalized.
And it's still like that when you look at all these, look at the BIA's government that's there, you know. It's still the government. There's government schools, and it's controlled by government, the Washichu government's 34 Act, you know. When are we going to get away from that, you know?
Remember that Cheech and Chong show when they were beating Cheech, the cops was beating Cheech, and Cheech said that don't even hurt. I'm Catholic. You know, that don't even hurt. You know. That's what Larry was telling him. Larry, when those cops was kicking my ass, Larry was over there. He said, that don't even hurt him. He's Catholic. He went to Catholic school, you know.
He can take it. Give him some more.
He can take it. He was telling him. He was hollering at, these were some detectives. They were undercover detectives, and you know, he was telling them, shit, you hit like a bitch. They wasn't even hitting him. They was hitting me, you know. You hit like a bitch. You hit like a bitch because that's the best you can do. Shit, my brother can take more than that.
That
was good old days. But anyway, you know, like I said, once again, you know, we was raised to understand the Wasichu meant pain, you know, and
yep.
that's a shame because you know, in a lot of as I grew older and was out in the world, like first time we ever seen a black guy was when we got on that train. We rode on train on relocation to California. Yeah. Then we seen a black guy, Chinese, you know, and different people. We said, "Wow, there's all kinds of people out here," you know.
Yeah.
All kinds of. Yep. I remember we took turns rubbing this black guy's head because we never seen no hair like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know. And it was a shock. And then they didn't move us to Beverly Hills, you know, on relocation. You know, you think in relocation they would put us in a good area, but they put us in the project, you know.
Yeah.
They put us in the project. So and there was no white people in the project where we were at. There were just, you know, Hassa Puzzles, Biolas. That's always those Chinese family lived a couple of doors away, you know. But the majority was, you know. So that's where we started out. You know, we started out right there, you know. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for the gangs, I don't know, me and Larry might not even be around. But getting in the gang was shocking. One time I seen these Mexicans, they were all friends with my brother, Larry. We went back to an alley, and I was standing here. They got in a circle and started beating his ass. When they got done beating his ass, he started combing his hair, and they all hugged each other. I said, "Damn." He was really combing his hair, you know. Had pomade, our three flowers, all on his hair, you know, fixed up, combed it, you know. And I'm saying, "Damn, man, that was something."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, that's my brother."
Jumped him in, huh?
Yeah, they jumped him in, but then another time I seen them jump another guy, and this time my brother was the one beating his ass. Well, my brother was slinging him on that guy, too. And then when they got done, that guy combed his hair, and then they all hugged, you know?
There you go, man.
Never did see no stuff like that, but that's how we started out in California, bro, you know?
Yeah.
That's how we did it, you know? And from there on out, we was in the battlefield, you know.
That was long, you know, before Bloods and Crips.
Yeah. And you know, all this stuff, being raised like that, you know, like I remember when I was in San Quentin. When in San Quentin, they had once the chow hall, one side. The Hassafas had their own chow line. And when they had pork days, like when they had pork on the line, those Hassafas wouldn't eat pork. So I said, "Damn, man, I would go get in their line." You know, these Mexicans and nobody would get in their line. But I would get in their line. You know, being La Costa, I didn't have all that peer pressure. So I got in their line of those house up. I said, "Hey, chief, man, what you doing here?" I said, "Man, I'm here because I want your poke. You give me your poke." You know?
Yeah.
So I'm in the line. That guy said, "Man, chief, you know you ain't supposed to eat poke. Poke's bad for you, man." I said, "Man, you know, my people, we've been eating poke since the beginning of time. What you talking about?" He said, "Man, what you mean?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "There's something else you don't know about us. We eat dog, too." He said, "Man, stop your lying. Stop your lying, chief." here's my Pope. You know, and here's my Pope, man. I would walk out of that chow line with Pope stacked sky high on my tray, and I'd share it with
Heck
my bros.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, but the reason why I brought that up was there was a guy, a Mexican guy on Facebook the other day, talking bad about pigs. He said, we ain't supposed to eat it. Pigs eat their own shit. They eat this. They eat the cancer out of other animals. He just was really exaggerating, but he was saying how dirty pigs are. And, you know, once again, when you're under the power of the Washichu, like the poor pigs, them pigs are raised in a pen. In a pig farm.
Yep.
So the only way they're going to eat is if they get fed slop. That's why they eat everything.
Yep.
Then they're in a pen and they're on pee and poop, you know. So they can't help it in there. But in reality, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but a pig out in the wild, or you let a pig eat, they ain't going to eat no slop. They're going to eat roots, greens, you know, all the good stuff, corn, you know. How my bro had some pigs. They used to like feeding them apples, you know, like crab apples, feeding them cherries and all that stuff. How you don't need them. They didn't eat. So, and chickens, they do the same thing. If you keep them locked up, they're going to eat their own poop or anything else, you know?
Yeah.
Anything.
Yep.
And then look what they do to beef. They give them steroids. They give them all this stuff to get them fat, you know? Give them anything.
Yeah. Yep.
So what if these guys put down a pig for when everything out there is trash? You know, gosh, even our wildlife is getting bad because...
Because
look at, they're dirtying up our water with their running their cows on our lands. They're dirtying up the water. Then they're spraying the corn and stuff. We can't tell those deer don't eat the corn. You know, they're going to go out there and eat it anyway. So even our wildlife is getting poisoned and getting disease and stuff. You know, and the fish in the water, you know. That one time, Tom Porbear, I was down at his house. He came in. He went fishing in Ogallala Dam, of all places, you know.
Yeah.
And he had some big, giant catfish. Man, these suckers are big. And he slapped them on the table, and some of them had swelled up foreheads and big abscesses on them. I said, damn, you going to eat that? He said, now just chop it off. And that's what he did. He chopped their heads off. He said, I'll fry them up. He didn't
care.
You know,
that's the thing that I was saying. Look at all the stuff that, you know, the water is going to be worth more than gold here in the near future because of all the polluting that they're doing, you know. And they don't even care, you know. Like all the trash that America creates, all this plastic, these petroleum companies, the plastic they create, a lot of that they ship to Africa where there's poor people. They pay the poor people to keep it on their land, you know. And America is the biggest export they have is trash, you know. And they pay these other countries to keep, you know. But these petroleum companies are the ones that are making plastic, and nobody says nothing about them, you know. And they're the biggest polluters there is. But nobody cares. I mean, they got so much money. There's so much. Look at what they did in North Dakota, you know, to that pipeline. You know, what Archambault didn't know was there was big money before, a few years before he even got into office. You know, there was big money, but the people didn't get it. Only the councilmen, the crooked people got it. And so that wasn't honest at all. That's why Archambault, in the end, turned against his own people and shut that camp down, you know. Because he found out what kind of money was involved, you know, and so money, they have a lot of money, so they shut people up, you know. That's how they do it, is they use money, and that's what they're doing. Look at all these people down in South America. Texaco went down there and polluted a bunch of water down there. And America, the government protected them because these indigenous people wanted to sue them, but they couldn't because America stood behind Texaco. So these Indians that got all their water wasted or ruined, America did this, see? And they don't tell people that around here. They talk about pollution, Green New Deal. The biggest polluters, the biggest terrorists in the world are the Washitu, American Washitu. And they use money to do this, see? And that's the thing with, and a lot of these guys complain, you know, but like you're talking about, you know, all this, look at Oglala Dam. It's not, it don't exist no more because of the pollution, you know? Look at Kyle Dam, any one of those dams over there, you know?
Rosebud Dam,
you know? All of them. It's all polluted now, you know? And I remember when we were kids. You know, we used to go to any creek and drink water, you know. Now we can't do that.
Now, when we were small, see, that creek in Rosebud, that we used to, their fishing there was good, you know. And Rosebud Dam is polluted, you know.
Yeah.
My son was swimming in there and got an ear infection. And here they found out that a whole bunch of people got sick. That's why they shut down those swimming in Rosebud Dam. I went down there to Chase's Woman's Dam. They have springs there, so we went and got some water that come out of the earth, and that was clean water, you know. But the other places where they Washitu have their cows and all that, because they're feeding them cows chemicals, them cows are peeing and funking up the water, and that's tearing everything up, you know. When we were young, we could drink all that water.
Yeah. And that was less than 50 years ago, you know, that you could still go to the creek and drink. But now you can't do that no more, you know. All the water is polluted because of these cows. They don't belong here. You know, the buffalo belongs here, you know. Because the buffalo, if you ever watch them graze, they don't eat clear down to the roots. There are certain plants that they eat certain times of the year. They're real picky about their food. So they ate medicine. That's why the katrunka is medicine, you know. And these cows, man, if you ever watch them shit, the way they feed them and stuff, god dang, man, it's too much. Look at what they do at these places where they, you know, before they send them to the slaughterhouse. You know, they bring a skinny old cow in, and they put all kinds of chemicals in them to fatten them up, and they send them to the slaughterhouse. You know, basically, you're eating chemicals, you know.
You know, you go over to where they raise buffalo, and you see on the side of the hills, the buffalo dig in because they lick out the salt and the minerals in the ground.
Yeah.
But cows don't do that. You know, cows have to go throw salt blocks in there for them. You know, but buffalo, they dig in the ground and they eat the dirt and stuff, you know.
They
know how to clean themselves. I watch them over here.
Self-sufficient, you know. The buffalo is a self-sufficient animal. Those animals like elk, buffalo, the animals, you know, if you really look at it, they're on reservation just like us, you know. And the Washitu with their cows, they're the Washitu. They're all over the place, you know. And they use a thing called brucellosis. Oh, when they get out, the pastures are going to spread brucellosis. You know, they were the ones that brought that. You know, they were the ones that gave it to these buffalo. These cows did that. And now they're blaming the buffalo for doing that. Elk and buffalo for spreading disease to these animals that, you know, that were here before. The cow wasn't here. You know.
They even given it to the deer and elk, you know.
Yeah, yeah. See, And that's the thing. They brought it here. They brought it with those stinky cows, you know. And everything that they say, oh, nature, naturalist, you know, water, what she does destroys everything and uses all the, it's good for the people as an excuse, you know. Washitu's are the biggest terrorists in America here. Washitu is the biggest terrorist when it comes to anything. And that's why I say they make indigenous peoples, they have they ever acknowledged what they did to the Indians and tried to compensate them for anything? No. All the other countries, they bombed and they you know, they destroyed, they killed a bunch of these peoples. In the end, they go and they give them all kinds of money and loans. They bring them over here, put them in businesses, all kinds of stuff. Native American people of this country, Lakotas, have never been acknowledged up to this day. They're still stealing our land. And they say, it says, where did they get the land from? Who authorized them to have that? You know? There was no negotiations with the Indians. They just took, and they're still taking. Look at the Black Hills. You know, all these houses popping up over there. That land belongs to the Lakota. Do you think they paid us for it? Hell no. They stole it.
You see, years ago, that's what all the tribes did. They didn't just stay in one area. They traveled around and they kept the lands fresh, you know. And there's this map going around. I seen on Facebook,
yeah,
the map of the U.S.
I've seen that.
And it says, why isn't this in history books? Well, you know what? That's bullshit, because they better not put that in history books, because what that map shows, that it says calls us Sioux. We're in one area. Blackfoot are in another area. Shoshone and Ute in another area. And it puts down where everybody's at. And that's a lie, because we traveled north, south, all over. So no tribe had borders. No tribe had borders. So what are we going to teach in the history? All this baloney? You know, it's these Indians that never lived on the res. They live, you know, they don't know about the true history of our people. It's them Indians, educated city Indians that go over there and they read these books and they say, oh, the Sioux, they're from South Dakota. Oh, and Ojibwe, they're from over there in Minnesota, Michigan. And the Cherokees over there on, you know, the East Coast. And, you know, they say this. And the Apaches down in the South and the Navajo,
yeah.
You know, they put us all in a place. So why should we teach our kids that baloney? You know, if we're going to teach our kids some history, we need to teach it right and explain that we had no borders and we're up and down all the land. Because when we went someplace else, another tribe came in and, you know, we had different,
yeah.
You know, different ways of life, different,
you know, when you talk, the Katkanka a long time ago, the Sioux people, the Katkanka was everything to us. And I think it was four main herds that existed. But we followed wherever the buffalo went. But there was a breakoff family that broke off from that big herd. Some Indians followed that. That's why we was all over the place. We followed the buffalo because that was our food. That was our protection. That was our clothing. That was our shelter. So the Washitu, when they say we belong to, that's a bunch of BS. Wherever the buffalo roamed is where we was, see? So they can't tell us that, we know where we came from. That's why the Kesapa is sacred. But the way we operated was we followed the buffalo, see? That's why we were the buffalo nation, see? So wherever they went, we went. So they, you can't tell us, well, we're just in one area, you know?
Well, you see, that they have the logic of these people I'm talking about. They're Indians. They're natives.
Yep.
But they have this strange logic. It's like I was down there in Texas. We were down there praying at these sites. There was rock art.
Yep.
And one of the rock art showed a design on it. The Indians weren't that good artists back in them days. But it was stick men. And it was three guys, you know. And they had looked like they were crawling up ladder. But the point is, what I'm saying is, when we looked at it, we figured it out. It was a sundance. Those were Heokas at a sundance, and they had a dog there with the head separated from the body and the paws separated, you know, and all this. And none of them, you see them archaeologists and all of them, they don't know our culture.
Yep.
So they didn't
know
what that represented. They didn't know what it represented. But I was looking at it, checking it out. And here there was this Apache girl. She said, look, those are because she married a Lakota before, and she knew that was Shunka, and she knew that those are Sundancers. And that one guy had a Heoka stick. And the ones they call ladders, they weren't ladders. They were ropes that went up. And remember how we put stuff on the ropes at Sundance?
Yeah.
So they had like tobacco ties. And there was a lot of them, so it looked like a rope, you know, how they designed their ropes. But you see, I was mentioning this, and here some native from Texas, you know, he had to say, well, it looks like my people were Sundancers too, you know. You see his logic?
Yeah,
he was
right
going to take credit. He was going to take credit for that scene there, and he don't know shit about it.
Yeah,
you know, he don't know.
Bookie.
He didn't know. Yeah. He didn't know about the way that animal had its legs its paws separated from the legs, the head separated from the body, the ears separated from the head, the tail separate. He didn't know what all that represented, but he's going to take claim. Yeah, my people, see, we had Sundance too. You see, that's how ignorant they are. That's how ignorant the people that are out there in the world wanted to teach in school. You know, that's my point.
Yeah.
My point is, you know, they want to, why isn't this taught in history books or history class? Because it's wrong. You know, are we going to let them teach bogus history just because an Indian's telling the history and makes it right? That's baloney. Because usually the Indians telling the history don't know nothing. They went to school and read it in books. They're not like us, you know, knowing the history and songs are living this way. We know why that creature had its paws separated. It's tails separate.
Yep.
We know that because we live that way. This guy, nobody knew it there. And, you know, and I was looking at it when she said that. She said, look, that's Lakota Sundance. I laughed because I knew what it was. But she seen it because she was married to a Lakota and been to Sundance and stuff. She knew that. But see, these people don't know that because they don't live that way. We haven't changed our way. We've been doing this for hundreds of thousands of years. We ain't changed the words to our songs or nothing. You know, same melody, same thing. They don't know that because they don't even have no songs to sing. All they're still singing is Star Spangled Banner, these Indians.
Yeah.
Singing Star Spangled Banner or singing Waltzing Matilda, because they taught that in Puerto Rico.
Crunchy, like I said, our history, our will, see, that's why we say this Chinupa is not a religion. A lot of people, oh, it's religion. No, it's not. It's a way of life that was given to us. And not only are things here attached to it, the universe is attached to it. You know what I mean? And we know these teachings. And we could run it down. The Wasichu, they don't have that. And a lot of these Indians, like you were saying, they might have it. But look at what they did to them. This is what we talk about. We welcome them into our Sundance to come and pray with us. They can't own it, and they can't be it, but they could come and participate with us because we want to help them. Because the Wasichu, the Spaniards, they stole everything from them. That's the reason why our ancestors were thinking people. They pity. They have a lot of pity for people. That's why when you talk about that Shuka, that guy that claims they had Sundances, he probably don't know nothing about preparing a Shuka. You know what I mean? It's a Wahoo Topa. It's not a dog anymore. That animal gave itself because after that, it's a Wahoo Topa. It's a four-legged. It's not a dog anymore, you know? And that guy that claims that, oh, we had some that, no, but you didn't. They had ways of life, too. But a lot of them, like I say, they lost it because Christianity. They destroyed their culture to teach them the Bible. And it's still like that today. How many Christian people are there? Even our own people, strumming guitars and, you know, singing Thou Shalt Not Kill and all that shit. And yet look at the Wasichus. They're doing it, you know? It's crazy how brainwashed the people really are. And they want to go out and teach history. And their history is wrong. The Wasichu history is all wrong. They don't know. They don't have no history. Everything that they own is stolen. They're thieves. They're robbers. That's what I say.
The way these Indians are learning history is from the books. They didn't learn it like us. We learned it. We learned our history from our elders and in ceremonies. You know.
Yep.
The spirits told us our histories. You know.
Yep.
The spirits taught us all this stuff. They don't know that. You know.
Yep.
So how are they? And here's the other thing. I read an article once again about people that teach Lakota. You know that there's white people that teach Lakota in colleges, and they're making six-figure dollars. And a real Lakota speaker ain't making nothing, you know?
Yep, yep.
What these people do is learn from, you know, like our people, like you or Rick or other people that speak it. They learn this, and they go off, they go up to a higher level where they're at, you know, because they have different levels. And like this one guy that's teaching Lakota Language Consortium, he got $126,666, you know,
damn,
a year, you know, and you know, they make big time bucks, you know, to teach our language, you know, and our people don't get nothing, you know, like Albert Whitehat or Sam Eichrane and different ones that taught Lakota, man, they barely got a little budget for teaching it at the school, you know. But when it goes out in the world, these people are making big time money. These college first a college educated Indian learns it from like you or somebody else, and studies it in a book, and then he runs it down to a white guy, and this white guy takes it further. The white guy is making more money than him, and then another white guy on top of them, the next thing they're making six-figure making money for teaching our language.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then these same people, since they're learning the language, you know, they're the ones teaching history, you know. Now they got a language to teach the history with, you know. And
it's all out of books.
That's all, yep.
You know.
And they're learning all this stuff in books.
You know, the thing about, like, our language, like when I go home and I speak with my people back there, the way we communicate, the way we talk, and a person that learns out of a book or a college center or, you know, it's hard to communicate with those people because they learn from a book or a classroom. So it's hard to communicate with them because really, they're not fluent, but they play that. See, they play that. Oh, they learn these things, and they think that they're talking Lakota, but it's all mixed up when you talk to them, you know. And when I talk to them, they don't understand me. So me, I gotta slow down and try to explain it to them as I'm going. And yet they say they speak Lakota, and they're the ones that are running the show now. That's all I say. They're way beyond Indian, these people, you know. And people believe them. And so I don't like to, me myself, I don't like to say anything because people will argue right away. These people that do that, they will argue with you right away on what this book or that book said or this. They've never lived it. They've never lived it. But yet people believe them instead of the people that lived it. That's the problem today. And you have a piece of paper hanging on the wall, and that's where that six-figure income comes from, see? What about that guy that talks it all his life? What does he get? When they ask him to teach, he teaches, kid, he's lucky to get a tank of gas, you know, to get home. You know? And that's how it is.
If you went and taught a class member, they would probably just give you an Indian taco. You know?
That's you know, and
give
you
an Indian taco
thing
for lunch, you know, and you know, and you'll say, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you know, really,
you got seconds. Yeah. You got another one, you know.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing with our people. See, we're generous people, real kind-hearted people.
And
we're
money's
people,
not
people.
Our. Money is not the
not
option
God.
With us, you see. That's why we do stuff for free, but the next step above, the educated guy, goes and makes money for it. That's what happened when I was working domestic violence on the arrest. I was volunteering my time, and we're doing all this stuff, going into jail, going into prisons, doing all this stuff for nothing. We just, you know, we went in and used to have group meetings in jail, or they let us take prisoners out to have group meetings, and we did it all for free. And then all of a sudden, here comes Paul Robertson and some people from the college center. They said they liked what we're doing, and next thing they started spending money on it, and next thing we got booted out. You know, next thing we were done. Next thing Paul married a Lakota, and then on and on, you know. And
yeah, that's
one
good.
One time he had a black eye. Damn, man, what happened to you, man? I guess some guy accused him of his woman, you know. Next thing you know, I said, well, look, we'll go get him if you want. He said, no, I'm not like that, you know. I said, you mean you got a black eye and you don't want no justice? I said, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know? And he said, that's why I envy you, you know. And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking, damn, you know, someone give me a black egg, he got to have one too, you know. But
yeah,
you see, they took off and they made money. The college,
yeah,
Oglala Lakota College, had white people working for them, doing what we're doing for free, but they're making big, getting big grants from the government and all that.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, is these guys, they learn a little bit, and all of a sudden, they're way beyond Indian, you see? And that's it's common. You know, a lot of these guys that are, you know, when there's a Navajo teaching Lakota, what does that tell you, you know? And you know, there's a whole Navajo language over there that they could be teaching. But yet, they're teaching Lakota, you know? Or Spaola, they're teaching Lakota. When there's a bunch of Spaola kids over there that need that language, you know, to communicate with their elders. And I don't get it, you know. Why are they always want to be, why are people wanting to be Lakota, but they hate us so much?
Yeah, plus when we're doing it for free, it don't matter. But once they do it and we try to get in on it, they say we're ex-felon, so we're not entitled. You know, we can't even have a job. You know what I mean? But we're doing it for free. We set off all the groundwork. But once they do it, they push you out because you're an ex-felon or you're not educated enough. You know,
it's your idea.
You know? Yeah, they just...
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they just booted me out of there. Next thing you know, and I'm trying to get in there, at least hustle a per diem or something. I'm an ex-felon, so I can't. They're not allowed to pay me out of their budget because they don't, you know. So I'm kicked out, you know. They just squeezed me out. And,
you know,
but when I was doing it, it was for free.
You know, the thing about something like that too, Tanshi, is these white guys like that, or these other guys, they always have a woman or somebody that backs them. You know what I mean? And you come out to be the bad guy when you know, you was the one that started, got it going and everything. You know, look at Kiwi Radio Station. Same thing happened there. David Little and what's his name, Orval Sully? They got pushed out of there, you know? And they were the creators
They
of
pushed
that.
Me out of there, too. They pushed me out of there and put Tom Casey there, you know?
Yeah, see? And that's the thing. Washita, dude. You know?
And when Tom Casey got in there, he wouldn't let us in.
Yeah,
You know, they made sure we didn't go back, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, Coach Howdy's. And that's what I'm saying. These Washitos, they do that. You know, they start all that. Then they play the victim. You know, they all pitiful me. And that's common everywhere you go where there's a bunch of, where there's a group of Indians. Washito always comes in and plays. He's the one that starts the terror. Then he ends up wanting to be the victim, you know. And people look at him as that, you know. To me, that's totally wrong. Our people are too brainwashed. They got too much book smarts, but not enough people skills, you know?
Yeah, they remember he even had TV t-shirts with his face on them.
Yeah.
So all the kids thought they were Christmas t-shirts because he looked like Santa Claus. Remember?
Yeah.
You know? And,
I remember, you know, one time I asked him, you know, to donate me a t-shirt so I could, you know, kind of like spread it around, show what it looked like. And the guy wanted to charge me $25 and wouldn't step away from $25 on a t-shirt. And that's the kind of mentality these Washitos have. When there's Mother Sky involved, they will not budge. To them, money is their god, you know? And a lot of these Washitos, like you're saying, Paul Robert, all those people, they're like that. When it comes to Mother Ska, they go nuts, you know?
You know,
they
you look at those, at TV, the DJs, they just get per diem for showing up to be a DJ. But out in the Washitu world, they're getting big bucks for doing the same thing being a DJ. You know, there's celebrities out there, you know. And but us, we ain't nothing. We're just, you know.
You know who's, you know, talking about Kenny, who is getting rich off of that? You know what I mean? Who's the one person that's getting rich off of that? He lives in Rapid City, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's the thing. He says, how about the Indians? This is my hustle, you know? He's got direct mail and all that stuff going to him, you know? All the donations go to him. And Tom Casey, why does he drive a new car, you know? You know, you know damn good and well, he's getting paid for something, you know?
He weaseled his way in there. I remember everything. You know, they started a war with people up there, you know, to fight each other, and he squeezed in there, you know.
And like I say, he used an Indian family to come out looking like he was the victim, you know. And he's the one that started the shit, you know. And that's the stuff I talk about, is that the Ashishus.
I remember one time he sent his woman to Rapid City to do an errand for us at the radio station. And before she left, he said, oh, looks like you're going to be there for lunch. He said, so go to McDonald's and get one hamburger. That should cost you blah, blah, blah. Get you some fries. That should cost you blah, blah, blah. And get you a drink. Get a small, and that's blah, 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 you know. He had he had her whole lunch calculated, and he told her what to spend for lunch. You know what? If I would have told my woman that, she'd have slapped me across the face, you know.
That's true.
But, you know,
if I tried to tell my old lady that, you know what she'd do, man? Shit. You know, it don't exist with Lakota people, you know, that penny pension or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's how our teachers are. They worship that money, you know.
Yeah, see, you know, that's a shame. That's a shame they got like that. And, you know, I worked at Our Lady of Lourdes, and I see all the Lakota kids in Our Lady of Lourdes. I mean, I hate talking about this guy, but his son was in there, and one day they were having a cookie sale, and his son had a calculator out, and he was calculating. All the other Indian kids don't even care, but his son was calculating how much to get, you know, and this and that.
Yeah,
you know, that little guy's starting out early, you know, and, you know, that's how it is. But you know, get back to this other stuff, you know, and Phillip's line's been open, you know. We have a lot of stuff that our people are getting involved in that isn't good, you know. And they think they're gonna do it for the children, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, teaching these kids that map. The Sioux belong here, the Apache belongs here, and they call that teaching history in our schools. You know, if our people are gonna teach history, then don't let some educated dude do it. You know.
That's why I told you, Tunisia, about these buffalo herds that we followed. That's why when the Wachichus came, we was on the East Coast, is because we followed that buffalo herd over there, you know? That's how we went around, is we followed the buffalo. So we weren't just in one area, you know? Yeah, that territory was ours, but still, we followed the buffalo, these herds of buffalo. Like I say, there's four major ones. So you could, you know, and like I say, our teachings go way back. The N and the D and the L come from the stars, star people, you know. These things, that's why I say history's got to be taught right if you're going to teach history. And tell the truth We weren't like Washichos where we stayed in one area and defended it because you're going to use it up. You know, we traveled,
yep.
We moved, just like the Buffalo. They didn't stay in one area. They traveled, so we followed them. So we was everywhere, you know. And that's why when me and you always say, we went from here over there, that's the truth, you know. So we didn't cross the Bering Strait, all this other stuff that they talk about. We went from here to there, you know. And the Washita is just now finding out about that, but they don't want to put it in the books because they have to change the whole history. That's the reason why they don't do it. They lie. They live on lies. And that's why I say they made the Native American Day, but what did they do for us? Did they return our land? Did they pay us lease money for all this, all these Washitas living on our land? No, they pay another Washita to live on this land so their soldiers could keep us down. You know, a threat of we're going to shoot you like these cops.
You know what gets me is these, once again, these certain kind of Indians line up over there and they put on a big show about how great that is, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And yeah, you can look at it as that's a step. You know, they say, well, we're a little step in the right direction. But, you know, so that's their justification. It's a step in the right direction. But look how long it takes to take a step. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So why do we spend time on that? You know, why do our leaders get happy for one little rooty poop step? Why don't go out there and go for the gusto the way it's supposed to be? If they're going to use the law and legal system, why don't they use the law and legal system? You know, why don't they sue the hell out of the whole government, every tribe, sue the hell out of them, go to Washington and tell them, you know what, but they're happy with a little step. Like I said, that holiday, changing Columbus Day to Native American Day, or whatever they call it, is just like giving a kid a cookie to shut him up, you know. That's all it is. That's why I don't agree with all this politics and all this stuff, because all it does is, like we said, you know, look at one tribal leader was voted in there 7 times. And 7 times, it was the same every 7 times. Every single time of the 7 times, you know. And you know, what good does it do when you re-vote a guy in and last time he didn't do nothing? I understand. They say, okay, we need 4 years to get something done. 2 years ain't working. But 2 times 7 is 14 years, you know? You know, so he has 14 years to do something. Like, okay, they're up there protesting against Mount Rushmore. Where was these presidents that were up there 7 times? Why ain't they there, you know, making a stink? Why ain't, when these tribal leaders go to Washington, you know, they got a fancy word. They say lobbying and lobbyists, and they use all these big fancy words. But if they go to Washington, why don't they make them jump? Like Obama, he didn't want to go to the reservation, so he went to Sioux Falls or some big city and made about 40 different Indian tribes leaders show up and pay $15,000 a plate just to see this guy. Well, why didn't those 40,000, our 40 Indian tribes, why? They had their chance to make Obama jump or make somebody jump. But you get people that are in politics, and they'll tell you this. They'll say, it don't work that way. It never works. You can't work it that way, you know? Well, if you can't work it that way, you know, then you ain't working, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they always say proper channels. Shit, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
When
you know,
sure,
I think...
Sure come, when they steal our land, they steal it. That's what they do. There's no proper channels, you know?
Yeah. They say, oh, but, you know, you can't deal with it that way. You got to work at it in, what do they call it when they make laws? Legislation. You got to make legislation,
yeah.
You know? You got to, but, you know, I learned this, that activism works. You know,
it does.
You
it
get
does.
40, 50 tribal leaders, like they're, and all their sister leaders, they all go over there and protest, you know, then they're going to get something done. You know, when Obama showed up, when they went to pay that $15,000 to show up to eat dinner, they should have jumped on his ass right then and there and not paid that $15,000.
Yeah.
And they should have ate up the house, and they should have jumped on Obama right then and there. You know what? There's 40 of us representing 40 different tribes. Why don't you do something about these treaties and all that? But they let Obama slide. When he went to Standing Rock, they let him slide. He learned how to say Midakaye Oyasim, you know. They taught him that word, and he was showing off that he could say it. And he made promises and just took off and left. Then, you know, look what he did in Standing Rock. He just abandoned them, the same place where he was at. He was at Standing Rock. And then what did he do to Leonard Peltier? He waited until he went out the door and made sure Leonard didn't get a chance. So, you know, when these Indians show up on Facebook, they say, how many of you think Obama was the best president? Give us an amen. You know, how was that word amen? You know, how was all that? You know, but that's what they do. You know, Obama wasn't the best president. They all called Trump names. They called Trump some kind of, what did they call Trump? Oh, they called Trump a scumbag. I said, you know what? You people forgot to count. There's something like 40-something scumbags. You know, you only call them one a scumbag. Why ain't you calling the rest of them scumbags? They're all scumbags. They all came over here and took advantage. You know, and they're still taking advantage. They're all scumbags. Biden's a scumbag. They're all scumbags. And anybody that gets in there is scumbag. Now I'm getting fired up. I better put any on.
No, that's you're right, though, Kunshi. That's the way it goes. There was 40.
Yeah.
What? He was a 44th. Well, how many?
46 or something.
Yeah.
They're all scumbags.
You know,
they're just
going to
call Trump a scumbag. They act like Trump is the only scumbag there was.
They're all that way. Every one of them. You know, that's, you know, none of them has ever given the people of this country a fair shake, no matter how you look at it. There's what, 580-some tribes in the United States? Now, all those so-called leaders of these 1934 governments that had just got together, showed up in Washington and demanded something, what do you think could happen? But they give this one, oh, we gave you casinos. Oh, we gave you thousands for this. They kind of use money to control all of these little tribes. Oh, we gave you this. You know, that's how
you know what these tribal leaders do? These tribal leaders put on a Washichi suit, and then they put on a Wampaha. And they go to Washington, and when they raise the flag, they salute them wearing a Wampaha. I said, there's a picture of a guy saluting the flag wearing a Wampaha and thinking he's a big somebody. That's a shameful shit there, you know?
Yep.
You know, we don't need to salute none of them people. But you so you get 500 people, 500 Indian tribes, and what do they do? Navajos, they're always bragging about their code talkers. Well, since they had all the code talkers, why are they thirsty over there? No water.
Yeah, no water.
You know, they should quit waving that flag and make them suckers get out and get our water back, get their water back. Yeah, the Colorado River, they have the San Juan River. They have all kinds of rivers running around there, you know. But they sure like to wave the flag, but at the same time, there are people who have no water, you know. The same way with us. The same way with every other tribe.
Yep.
You know,
yep. That's the problem. You know, they put on all these vodkas and they do these things, like the Navajo there. You know, when they gave up all that petroleum and that uranium, all these companies came in and they lived there and they had water. What happened to that water when they were going to leave? How come it's still not there? These Washichos, they destroyed it and took off and left those guys. Why are they so proud to be American, you know? I don't understand that. Oh, I was the Marines. I was the Army. They brag about it. They're the oppressor. And then I want to know what this guy earned for his tribe or his people. Did he win some land back for the people? Did he get some kind of compensation for his people, all the land they stole, or the water they destroyed and took off? None of that happened. So why are they saluting stuff? Why are they, you know, I'm getting fired up to the country.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, 500 tribes, why don't they stick together and go up there and run everybody off the Black Hills for a start? Why don't they make them pay back for all the gold they took out of the Black Hills?
Yeah.
Then go down there and make them put, since they're running all that oil pipes, they sure know how to run water pipes into Navajo Res, you know?
Yeah.
They sure know how to do stuff when they want it, you know? Them ranchers sure make sure they got water for their damn cows. They make sure they got water for their horses and everything, you know? But an Indian can't get no water. He got to pay for it. Then you got, look at Nestle's. Nestle's stealing water and selling the water.
Yep.
You know, all that water they're stealing, why don't they run a pipeline out of there and run it to these Indian lands where there's no water? As quiet as it's kept, our people don't even have water in a lot of places, you know?
Look at Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. They brought in a so-called Miniwichoni, but yet people that live out in Oglala, out in the district, they don't have running water. They have to haul water. When they want to go live on their land, they have to haul water. What good is that Miniwichoni if the people ain't using it? And that's the same with the Navajo. See, all of these Washita ranchers and these farmers are plugged into that Miniwichoni because the underground water that people are using back home is no good. It's been proven time and time again that there's a lot of uranium in that underground water. That's why they're bringing that.
Tahashi, you know, just think about all the parades you're peeing on right now.
Yeah.
You're peeing on lots of parades. Because all these Indians, you know, they're up there thinking they're world leaders. They put their foot on the desk and they think they're a world leader when they ain't nothing. You know, Biden don't look at them as a world leader. Nobody looks at them as a world leader, you know, but they think they're world. They want us to look at them as a world leader. They don't want to give us our own land back. The tribes keep it from us. You know, we all got land, and they're letting people lease the hell out of it. And they're working with the Washichu. They're letting the FBI and U.S. Marshal on our rest. You know, how is that? How is all that? Where's the sovereignty? They say we're sovereign, but they only use that for their purpose, you know. But, once again, the sovereignty that they say we have is just a cookie to shut us up, you know, our Snickers. You know? I like Snickers. You know? But, see. Anyway, Henny, you've been on. Philip, you've been on. You guys want to jump in, you can jump in anytime you want. You got a cool ass now. Me and Denver's riled up. My brother over there. We're riled up.
I'll keep the field going. I'll keep the field going on this. There's a lot of Indians that are Trump supporters that have investments in oil. And, you know, like when Biden tried to shut down all the oil companies, you know, Indians are probably screaming the loudest because, you know, there goes their piece of the money. So as guys that are not into oiling and drilling and whatnot, you know, that's probably the Ochetti shot going. But all around, people are getting oil royalties. And, yeah, they're Trump supporters because Trump wanted to open up a lot of oil drilling on federal land. And
yep.
I want to mention, like on our land, a guy shut it down 1 year, but they was trying to make the Badlands into a national park. And once that fence went up, then our tribe would have had access to exclusive mining there. And whenever it was going around talking about it, you know, that was my part in it, the mining part. But anyway, we shut it down from being a park. And I haven't checked on it lately. I don't even know if there's a fence up around it because I kind of lost track of it. But, you know, our tribe, and we even have mining laws. So, you know, our tribe, sooner or later, is going to try to mine again or try to do something with mining.
They don't even know how to mine. You know, our people don't know how to mine. We don't even know how to dig for gold. That's why they took they dug for gold and took it.
You know,
a lot of stuff we don't even care, huh?
You know this golden stuff. Like I said, it used to be just like a rock. The teachers went nuts over it, and they started killing us off for it. You know, and you know people that you know we talked about the sovereign before. How is it that the tribal council all of a sudden could use sovereign or limited sovereignty? What does that mean? You're either sovereign or you're not. There's no limited in there, you know? And I never did understand that. All these tribal lawyers, Mario Gonzalez, all those guys, they use, even the council used that. We got limited sovereign, sovereign. But what is that, you know? When it benefits the Washitu, they throw that in there, you know? Why is that?
That's
I mean,
why.
Are we sovereign or are we not?
Let me explain that to you. That's Ordinance 1516, and the
Good
sovereignty
job.
Protects the tribal government. It protects the council people. It protects their programs. And it protects their agents. So the lawyers are their agents. And so, like, if I was to take a program to court, it would get dismissed because that program falls under the sovereign ordinance. But whenever they work with businesses outside the reservation, they say limit sovereign because we're usually the contracts are signed to take it to, you know, like their state's court, and we waive the ability to bring it down here to our court. So just like
I'll
that Shakopee loan.
Yeah.
Just like the Shakopee loan, we waived.
Henny, I'll ask the question. Now, this is the good. What does sovereign mean? What's the meaning of sovereign? What's the definition of sovereign?
I'm not going to give you a definition, but I'll explain it.
No,
okay,
I want a definition because define sovereign.
Okay. It's the right to regulate within your boundary, basically. So when the states
form...
totally
wrong.
Okay, when the states form... The United States government gave the states ability to be sovereign within their boundaries, each state. So us guys being a reservation, we have the sovereign in our reservation to create laws and whatnot, just as the states do.
It's an intended right to live in ourselves.
We need to have the real sovereignty. the real sovereignty.
That's,
like Russia,
see,
like China,
yeah.
like.
That's what I'm saying. Explain the sovereignty, because to my understanding, the way you're either sovereign or you're not. There's no in between. It's an inherited. We inherited this right from our ancestors going way back. That's ours.
Oh.
It's a given.
Okay.
But where did they start? Where did these people start chopping it up? That's why I say we ain't even sovereign. But yet people use it. The tribal councils use it to go against us, the people. They don't go against the Washichu. They don't go against nobody else. So there's no sovereign there. They go against us. Why is that? And they consider themselves sovereign. Are we sovereign?
We're not sovereign.
There you go. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yep, there you go.
What gives the right to these people? I inherited that from my grandfather, who fought against the Washichu to govern ourselves, to live by ourselves the way we're supposed to live. They took that away from us. So we're not sovereign. So why use it? That's what gets
exactly.
me. Why even put it in there anywhere? Don't even put it in there, because we are not sovereign, and tell the people that.
I write on it every now and then on Facebook, but one of the reasons why I wrote that is one of the reasons why I wrote that amendment, that we get to vote on all ordinances, because that sovereign is an ordinance. And so basically, like, from here on out, if my amendment's passed, we as a people will be able to vote on such stupidness. And, you know, it'll be explained. Like, we could even knock that sovereignty out. Knock that sovereignty away from the government.
But, Hanny, let's talk about this sovereign here. Our people always say we're sovereign, and they all want to be sovereign, and they claim sovereignty. But the minute a meth dealer shows up, they want the FBI down here. Well, that's flip-flopping.
Yes, it
is. So do they want sovereignty, or do they want to be with the U.S. government? That's why we can't even argue the point, because the minute we want sovereignty, then these people will say we're troublemakers, because there's a side of people that want the government down here, and they use simple stuff like saying, "Well, you guys are women are suffering over you guys. The Indians are the worst treaters of women, so we need to go down there and send them to prison, you know. Or they're down there using meth. They're down there doing everything. They put a bad handle on us, you know. They put a bad handle on us like they did the pig, saying the pig is dirty, you know, when really not, you know. The thing about it is they're flip-flopping. And we can't, when I sit here and watch Indians wave that flag and then run over there and cry for the FBI because they say we got a meth problem. And you know what? I've been here for I don't know how many years over here in Rosebud, and they talk about meth. I must be totally blind or something, because I don't see it. I see alcoholism, but I do not see no meth here. There might be a couple guys who go to town and get some meth once in a while, but the way they're talking, like every creature in town is on meth, and it's not true. You know, I don't know about all this stuff.
I'm going to give you an example that just happened recently. So there was a guy that had a gun, and anyways, this was about a month ago, was out to Calico area. What they do, they call a SWAT team down from Rapid City with all their gun might to try to control the situation too. And just recently, you know, there's a bootlegger that sold a young relative. It was rubbing alcohol mixed with the vodka. And, you know, this was this young girl's first time of even attempting to get drunk or attempting to drink, and she was only 18. Just turned 18.
I heard about that.
But yeah, but you know, her mom, you know, just, you know, was tight-reined with her and watched her all the time, and she thought, oh, I'm gonna trust my daughter. But anyway, you know, the marshals came down, and from what I understand, you know, the Western bootleggers are knocking down bootleggers' doors, you know, suspected bootleggers. And I'm glad they did that, because, you know, we don't have no police force that's actually in control. When you get a chief of police in there, it's a political move. And just recently, one of the council person's sister got arrested, and she had to spend 3 days out there, you know, because it was domestic violence. And so a council person got involved and, you know, was threatening the chief of police with his job and whatnot because he was in jail. So, you know, the chief of police, huh?
I feel bad for this girl, and I feel bad for everything. But you're saying we should give up our sovereignty for one incident or for two incidents. When?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying what had happened.
No.
And I'm saying
But you said it was good that the marshals came down and, you know, all of that.
Okay.
You know?
Let me go back to tell you a story about Sovereign. Back during World War II, there was a guy that went, joined the army, came back. He had a daughter that the grandma raised because the mom and the dad didn't want to take care of her. The GI came back and raped that little girl, or not girl, his own daughter. The chiefs got together. They asked the grandma of that little girl, what do you want? That was her son that did it. And she said, because of that little girl and what the trauma she was going to live with, this was in World War II. This was during World War II. The chief asked her what she wanted. What she wanted was him buried alive. So the warrior societies went out, got the guy, dug a hole, and buried him alive while the Washichu military stood by, and they couldn't do a damn thing. That was justice. That was our justice. The sovereign nation issuing an order to the warrior society. There was nothing
and
the United States government could do because they were sovereign.
And that's
and that
what we should
have
did to this guy. That's what they should do to this little guy. But to what
that's
this guy did to this little girl. You see, Kenny,
yeah.
my point is this. You know, our people can solve problems. But we can't solve problems because we don't have sovereignty. The minute we get that guy who killed that little girl and bury him alive, they come down and indict us all for murder. Because we don't have sovereignty. That's why we can't solve our problems. We can't.
Because of the tribal council and the BIA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, they call that taking the law in our own hands. But we sure let the white man. We let the white man take the law in his hands. We let the white man punish us. Who can? You know. You see, we're so screwed up in the brain. We think it's all right for them to come down and solve this problem, but it's not all right for the other problem. My point is, we don't need them at all, or at all. We don't need them at all, you know. We don't need them nothing, because we can deal with our own people. That guy who did that to that little, to that girl, you know, the only justice that they're going to get is when the family of that girl gets to have justice themselves by doing whatever they want to that guy. That's justice. I don't see justice in watching the white man send one of our people to prison. I don't get a thrill off of that kind of justice, letting a white man punish somebody who hit me in the jaw or ran over my kid or something. I want justice. The justice I want is what I can give that guy.
Look at him. Look at Henny. The tribal councils, the justice that these tribal councils have control over. That's the reason why those bootleggers do what they do. They got relations in there, just like you talked about. That's not sovereign. They're using Washita law. Their law, the Washita law. That say they care about us. They defend us to do this. So
you
that's
know,
what I'm saying. We could run our own tribes the way we want. But yet, it's because of these people in the council and the VI that stand in the way. And they do, like he was saying, they bring in Washita's to try to take care of us, to be the great white savior. It doesn't work that way. They don't give a shit about us. They never did. All they want is our land.
The reason why I said I was glad they come down here, so no other young person at that time would have drank the same damn mixture that this young girl drank. And, you know, she just had a liver transplant today. And so, you know, she's recovering from the liver transplant. And our cops wouldn't do anything. You know, so anyway, you know, the marshal stepped in. And you know what? It's pretty quiet outside. Usually you hear cars driving around all night long on a Friday night. There's nobody that's bootlegging here in Pine Ridge, so it's quiet.
Well, you know, it's like on Facebook, I seen them put a picture of a little Jewish girl that they said got murdered in Auschwitz. They killed her. This picture was 3 days before they murdered her. And they put that picture up there to make people feel so bad for that girl. They exploited a young girl's, one individual's face to justify the hate they have. You see? And the hate they have, they use that hate to go around the world and kill people. That's why Israel is bombing, killing Palestinians. That's why America supported them. You see, we're doing that when we put an individual on top of our sovereignty, you know? And that, you know, but when we say that, like this here, then it makes us sound like me and Bimber, makes us sound unsympathetic to the issue. When we're not unsympathetic, because I know Bimber, if we got a hold of that guy, you know, we would do something about it. We're not unsympathetic about it. The thing is, we're hindered by the white man to do something about it because we have no sovereignty. And in our brain, we allow them to come in to solve that problem so they don't do it again. And we do that every time. That's why Obama had a young girl up there, a rape victim, you know? And if I talk about the real incident that happened, I sound unsympathetic. And when we sound unsympathetic, there's people out there don't like us, you know, and they start trouble for us. You see, because of that, we have to sit here and agree with you that, yeah, the marshals need to come down and take care of this. The marshal, we need the white man, his blue eyes and blonde hair, needs to come down here and take care of this. That's their job, you know. But our whole issue is sovereignty. You know, we were sovereign people before that Mayflower showed up, before Columbus came. You know, we didn't need the King of England to come over here and solve our problems then. So why should we do it now? You know, why do we need it now? We need to get off that trip. We need to fight for our sovereignty so that way we can take these guys, that bootlegger, and we can deal with them ourselves.
You know, there are some guys that busted into this house down here, this probably about 4 years ago, because this guy sold his sister some meth, and he went in there and knocked the hell out of him, beat him up pretty bad, and that guy goes running to the police. And so the guy that broke into his house and beat him up, he was the one that got charged federally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep. That happened over here. A guy crawled in his daughter's window and tried to rape his daughter. So he beat the guy half to death with a bat. So they send the councilman to prison. Now he's out, and he can never be a councilman again because he's an ex-felon. You know, that's how that works. And we can't work that way. We're Indians. We need to be able to deal with our own issues.
You know, Henny, going back to a good example of that, that councilman that was harassing these women in the council, that were secretaries and what else in the council. These people that sat on the council protected that one guy. And it was allowed. It was okay for that guy to do that. That's not sovereign. That guy should have been beat down. You know?
It goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. He should have never been able to run because of his criminal history. But they changed the election ordinance so he could run this time. And so,
not sovereign at all.
No, but that's the tribal government messing up again. And so they changed it specifically for him to run.
It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. How they claim limited sovereignty when it benefits the Washita. Which, yes, when it's going to benefit us, we ain't got shit. Who defends the people? The council is getting rich with that. They're still doing it. There's COVID money. They're all still pocketing it. What are we getting? Those cows are getting hay for it. What are the people getting? We should be able to make our own deals with Russia, China, anybody. Because the Washita neglects to do their treaty obligations or what they agreed to. So we're still sovereign. We still have that. But our council, our own people, stand in the way of all of it. And that's what we're talking about. That's why I went back to World War II. The United States government, the military was there. But they couldn't do a damn thing because the Sovereign Council told the Warrior Society, bury that guy. So the Washita stood there and watched it. They tried to say something about it, but there was nothing they could do because a nation took charge of it. And they buried that guy. They buried him alive because that's what the grandma wanted. What happened to that? That's
okay,
sovereign.
So you guys got to go back and think about Crow Dog versus the United States government, and that's whenever the Major Crimes Act started affecting us. If you go back to the treaty, Article 1, the Badman's Clause, in there it says, turn over to U.S. Marshals. So it's in the treaty, to turn them over to U.S. Marshals.
They inserted that in there. That's what I'm saying. They inserted that in there to benefit the Washita because they were stealing our land.
Yeah, like I say, Crow Dog versus the United States, that kind of backs it up, too. That's where the Major Crimes Act actually start happening on the reservation.
And then they don't even comply with the Major Crimes Act, because the Major Crimes Act says, here's how the Major Crimes Act is. The Major Crimes Act is this, a crime against the Indian. So when you commit a crime against the Indian, that's violating the Major Crimes Act, a crime against the Indian. That means hurt an Indian, kill an Indian, steal from an Indian, rape from anything that hurts another Indian. But where does bootlegging come in? Where does dealing drugs come in? The Indian's buying the drugs on his own free will. He's buying the alcohol on his own free will. So how come they're still, or how about child support? They're locking up Indians for child support. You know, these ain't major crimes on the Major Crimes Act. There's a whole bunch of crimes out there they're locking people up for, the feds, and they take your, anyway, we live in a tore up society. And the point is, what we're saying is We live in a tore up society, and we need to stop living in that tore up society.
We got to control.
So how
our
do
own
we
destiny.
Do that? We, in other words, we need to have two kinds of Indian reservation. We need to have the Indian reservation that wants to work with the Washichu, and the Indian reservation that wants sovereignty at all costs. You know what I mean?
In other words, so these Indians that want to suck eggs to the white man, they can live over there. And those guys that want to control our own destiny, go deal with Russia, China, or whatever. We could have our own reservation if that's what they want.
Yeah, we need to have our own government like that.
And bury people that commit egregious acts like burning girls' liver up, you know what I mean? Or raping a little girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where we can deal with our criminals as we choose without the blue-eyed, blonde-haired man telling us how, letting him do it for us. We don't need that guy doing that for us. Who the hell does he think he is? God or what? He does.
But yet, the council
sits there. That's why they wear
there.
Black robes.
You know, the council sits there. And then they say, oh, well, we're under this government, and then the Washington say, oh, you guys agreed to it. There was an election. I won vote on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Why don't we put the treaties and the 34 government on the ballot instead of alcohol? That's the problem. How many people want to go back and live the way that we still live that way? We know who we could trust in our districts, our people, who these people look up to. It's still there. Then they say, well, how does that government work? We've lived it. What's wrong with that? How come the tribal council, just a few elected officials that get all the money and get everything and keep us poor and let the BIA make all these rules to keep us off our land while teachers keep stealing it? Why do we let them in control? Then they say election. You got to have an election. Anytime you say something to the Washington about the 34 government, they say, oh, you got to have that election like we did it because we did it democratically. You got to have that election, and you got to choose which government you want to live under. They keep throwing that in our face, and nobody seems to care. And the status quo is still the same on a reservation. Like you said, a little girl got her liver burnt up from rubbing alcohol. That's been going on a long time, Hemi.
Yeah, I know.
The bootlegging shit, that's been going on since Red Cross. You know, it's got to stop. It wasn't as bad back then, but it's still going on today. Yeah.
You know, we can't solve the problem that way because we're letting people think, it's like I said, they got a native holiday. They call that one step. That's a step in the right direction. That's why we can't get nothing going, because they're only taking one step at a time.
Yeah.
And they're allowing the white man to push us back and make us take a step backwards. We need to take a big, giant step. And the only way to do that is the people. Gotta all do the
Indian.
Same thing.
We're all Indian.
You know?
We're all
you know?
In it together.
But
we're
it ain't
Indian.
Gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen because we got Indians using that map saying, Sioux belong here. Blackfoot belong there. We need to teach this in the history class. You know? The people that do the talking for us, remember, are the ones that go to college, the ones that, and they don't know nothing. The ones that rub elbows with the Washichu every day. These are the ones doing the talking for us. These are the ones that think we only been here for 10,000 years. These are the ones that almost believe the world is still flat. Indians, you know, because they went to college, because they did this, we're supposed to let them guide us to salvation, but it ain't working that way. because they're only taking one step at a time. And me and you, Limber, we wanna just go in and plow it down. And there's
yep.
That's why there's only a couple of us. You know, there's only a few of us that know better. Why is it that me and you, without all our big education, without our big military army, without all this, why are we the ones that have this logic to solve the problem, but no one wants to hear it? Why are all the smart people ready to invite the marshals in? Why are all the smart
yep.
people ready to go be happy because an Indian becomes a black robe judge? You know, why are people so happy when an Indian takes a step into the white man's circle and they call that a step ahead for the Indian? Oh, we got an Indian in there. You know, every Indian that stepped into that white man's circle is one less Indian we got.
Yep.
You know, when our Indians should be jumping out of that circle and jumping back in our circle,
you know
then we can do something.
You know, it shouldn't really matter. Sioux, Navajo, whatever. All the Indians,
yep.
like I was saying, 500 some tribes. When are we going to get together and start demanding things that belong to us? You know, they look at one tribe, oh, you guys, no, it takes all of us to do this. You know, and like I say, look at our tribe. Once a great nation, and now bootleggers are destroying, drug dealers are destroying our babies. But yet, the councilmen sit there, like Kenny said, the feds had to come and take it. You know what they're going to take them up? The most they're probably giving for bootlegging is 60 days. You know, because it's a joke. He did that to an Indian. They're not going to use Washitu law on him. He's not is not Washitu, so they don't care about that kid.
There was a woman that was given 7 years, and I think she got out around in 2007 or something like that. Anyway, I can't remember what year she got out, but she got out, and she did 7 years, and she asked me to help her find her stuff. So I said, why? What did you do? She said, I just got out of prison. She said, I'm the famous lady from Porcupine that got busted for bootlegging. So I said, so you've been gone 7 years, huh? She said, yeah. Can you help me find my car and my belongings? So I said, they're long gone. I said, the moment they arrested you, you gave up your rights to all your possessions. And it was a free-for-all. Anybody came in and took whatever they wanted to. But the thing of it is they've been arresting people from the reservation since the late 1800s, taking them up to Deadwood for bootlegging and charging them in Deadwood. And
Henny, that guy who did that to that girl, if people are sure the one who did it, you know, if they got absolutely...
We're not sure. We don't know who did it.
My point is, whoever did that to that girl, he should be scared to go to sleep tonight. My point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but because he's got protection of the American law, he's probably laughing. He's probably saying, oh, shit, you know. But he ain't scared, you know. Maybe he says, okay, I won't do that again. But that guy ain't scared for his life. That guy should be, that guy, if he was under me and Vimber's system, if he was under me and Vimber and my brother's system, that guy wouldn't be sleeping tonight.
Yep.
He'd
be permanently sleeping.
Okay,
so Richard,
hauling ass to Mexico or someplace.
Yeah.
Okay, Richard, remember as a probation officer back in the late 70s? You know, like, a lot of those laws that was governing this tribe in the late 70s, they haven't been changed. And I've been going down there to the council saying, you know, let's change these laws, you know. And so they've been on the books since 1967 or 68 around there. And the laws haven't been changed. And you know, I went down there on the drug code and told them how messed up it was. I told them about sales and alcohol, sale and possession of alcohol. We have idiots sitting in there that don't know how to change the laws, and we have these lawyers that make $140,000 that won't write laws to protect the people.
Yep. You know, and that's the big damn mess we're in, and that's why instead of advancing in the last 50 years, advancing to something special since they took our stuff. In 50 years, we should have been able to, or 100 years, we should have been able to get this stuff back, you know? But because we're taking one step at a time, we ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing coming back, you know? One step at a time ain't working, is my point. You know, we had 100 years of Indians and politicians and tribal leaders and all this, you know, to do something. But in 100 years, they haven't done nothing, you know. So here we are. We got to wait another 100 years and keep voting and hoping this guy, you know, they're voting for this guy, but you know he's not going to do it. Vote for that guy, but really, you know, he ain't going to do it. You just like his look. You vote for this guy. You know, when you're voting for him, he's running so he can have a job. You know, he don't care about our people. He cares to have money in his pocket and propane in his tank and all this. But all of us traditional people, all of us that want the right way to live are the ones going to suffer. And with that, you know, Henny, give me your last feedback real quick.
It's been fun. You guys have a great week.
Yeah, it's been fun. And it's always fun when you come back on. We need to get it on. We need to open up our minds and do stuff. And I like it when Bimber gets all riled up over there, you know. Boy. He ain't going to walk home on his elephant. His elephant's going to be charging back to Vacaville. You know? He's going to be smashing up cars all the way there. You know, Bimber's ready to be on CNN tonight. You know? You know, that's how it is. We're Lila Ushika, you know, talking about natives, indigenous are running on one lug nut right now, running on one lug nut. That's why that girl, that lady died. She's the only one speaking her language, you know.
Yeah.
And that's because we're running on one lug nut. And with that, we're going to have to, Tanshi, you could say a prayer, say your final words, and say a prayer for us. Because at least we got that. At least we're the only one got a real indigenous radio show. We're the only ones that still using our mind, you know. And we got an audience out there tuned into us that agree with us, and they support us. And they're out there because what we stand for is the same thing they stand for. They want to be free. They want free. Go ahead, November.
We close on me. Ino kya pun khochet kya tum ka sidam ka hi aap ye na mi ta ke tuk tek te lo yem hena tum ka sidam a ke kham se che ni ta kun ki cha ki kham se che na ya tum ka sidam lo ki cha na to na yok shi cha ge ni sta ma ni mi cha pa u cha ti pa si na to na a ke kham hena bo ta gli cha hi tum ka sna tuk tek te lo ta ke o yem hena na yo hi ra tum ka sna we chose on me lo la ko ta o ja pe a ku ki sha ho ye chi ke lo Lechta et de kunkatia, uchi kilapo, tau mitakia.
We have to go, but I think everybody out there, St. John Davis, and my bro over there, Masomani, and, you know, tuned in, and all of those around the world that tuned in to us, Magdaleno, and that is way over there in Ireland, so by Australia. Anyway, you know, we got listeners, and I want to thank them all for coming on. And they all know what we're talking about. They're not taking no offense. We're not being racist to people out there. We're talking about the devil. And we all races, know who the devil is. That's who the one screwing up the world. We're talking about the devil. So with that, we're going to have to head out. And I hope that everybody out there stays warm, because we're going to it's starting to get a little bit nippy out here nowadays. And I thank everybody for coming. And I wanted to remember that Myron Dewey, I hope I didn't screw his name up, but, you know, he was investigating the drone pilots who were doing murders around the world, sitting there in Nevada on Indian land, piloting drones to kill people. They just killed a bunch of kids in the Mideast, Afghanistan, you know, using our Indian land for their murders. Myron Dewey just died on the 26th, I think. And I seen him up in Standard Rock. And, you know, he did a lot of videos and stuff. But anyway, that's one point that he made. He did a show on this military base on Indian land. We have B-1 bombers right here in Rapid City in the Black Hills. B-1 bombers, nukes, you know. So, do shock, everybody. We'll stay in touch. Since it's getting cold, I'm going to